today as we come to the table.
He didn't obey immediately. He sat there for a while. And then when he did come out of Ur of the Chaldees, remember, he went to Haran. And he was there in Haran and stayed there until his dad died. And then when his dad finally died, he moved on down to the promised land in Canaan. We notice a pattern there. When God first called him, a very delayed obedience. You know, you've heard on delay, on delay, on delay. Well, a little bit more on, a little less delay. And that's the bottom line. That's what God wanted out of his life. And so he's down there, finally down in the promised land after God had done it. But I love this about him, because this time we see in scripture, as he's grown in the Lord, that now God says to him, get up and get going, take care of this. He rises early in the morning, early. Note that.
Our heroes of the faith are not without their own shortcomings. In today's message from Pastor Mark, he explains to you that even the best heroes within the Bible still had their own battles that they had to deal with. All of them had to grow in their faith. None of them had an easy button that they could hit. They had to trust in God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark understands that sometimes it can be hard to step out and trust God in every area of our life. But what God has called you to do, you can do it. He has everything that you need in Him to be empowered to do what He's called you to. Listen to what God is asking of you. Be obedient and step out in faith. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 21, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
So again, they give this great feast, and Sarah says, hey, you know, you've made me laugh, and who would have said that I would nurse children? And so they have the feast, verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Note that. The word scoffing here means intentional mockery. And guys, we should not be surprised when the unbeliever deals with us with intentional mockery. Why? Take note of this. Egypt in scripture is a type of the world, and they were children of Egypt. Hagar was literally from Egypt, and Egypt will always mock the children of God. It is a spiritual principle. You don't have to do anything to receive this mockery. Simply being a child of God is enough. Why? Because it's a spiritual issue. There's a battle going on between the spirit and the flesh, between God and Satan. And so the mockery is going to happen. Sometimes people are going to give you a hard time and you didn't do anything. I remember having someone, you've probably had this. I remember having someone mock me one time about my faith and I hadn't even shared with them. Why? Not because I'd done anything to make them mad, simply because of this spiritual principle. Those of Egypt will always mock those of the Lord. And so don't be surprised by it. It's interesting, in Galatians 4:29, speaking about Isaac's birth, it says this, and he's using Isaac and Ishmael as a symbol of the spirit and the flesh. He says, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. In other words, when you're born again in Jesus, those that are not born again, but are only born again, or rather born of the flesh, they're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. But that's only one half of the battle. Now note this, Christian. We have our battle with the world. We have our battle with Egypt, don't we? But we have a battle with our own flesh. Note this. It's not just the world that battles with us. Our own flesh will battle our spirit. The Bible says that within the believer, when we're born again, we don't lose our old nature. And so now we have the flesh nature and the spirit nature fighting against each other. The flesh is still wanting to do things that you know now you shouldn't do. And you've got to make choices. You've got to make decisions. And you've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And again, it's Ishmael here is a picture of the flesh. It's interesting that it seemed fine until Isaac was celebrated. He was okay until Isaac was born. He was okay until Isaac was celebrated. But once Isaac was born and Isaac was celebrated, immediate confrontation. And that's how our flesh is. Remember when you came to the Lord, all the things you did before Christ didn't bother you so much, did they? It wasn't so bad. Well, I'm not as bad as the next guy. I'm just as good as this guy, right? And then you give your life to the Lord and you're like, ooh, that's not good. Ooh, I shouldn't do that. Ooh, I need to stop saying that. Why? Now there's a new nature. And it's God's nature in you. And the two are banging heads. They're fighting each other for position. Our flesh doesn't bother us until we're born again. And then we see it for what it really is. And then the battle begins. Well, now Ishmael sees what Isaac is. And Isaac now is being shown for what he is to Ishmael and Hagar. And so the battle has begun. And this tension, this mockery, this scoffing, if you will. And notice verse 10, she sees this. Therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely my son Isaac. Now, note this. This was a literal casting out. Get rid of them, Sarah's saying. But guys, there's also a spiritual application here for us. And this is it. Even when the time came, because God revealed it, that Ishmael had to go, this type of the flesh. Guys, God will reveal in our heart, when we give our life to him, the flesh has got to go. It's time to cast out the flesh. And some of you this morning have been living with the flesh way too long. I mean, I know that when you come to the Lord as a new believer, you still have a lot of fleshly things about you. You still have things that you're involved in, but God will be faithful to convict you as you walk with him and show you new areas. You need to deal with that. You need to get rid of that. You need to take care of that. That is, if you will, your Ishmael. God is saying, cast it out. Cast out the bondwoman, if you will. That is following the rules of the law and trying to be religious. And get rid of Ishmael, the flesh. Cast them out and walk by the Spirit and by the freedom that we have in Christ. But notice it wasn't easy to do this even for Abraham. Look at verse 11. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now note this. Again, it's interesting how badly Abraham wanted to hold on to Ishmael or typologically the flesh. Now I know there was a fatherly connection here. And so his struggle was hanging on to his son and letting him go. But as God is using this as a type and as a symbol for us, is it not the same way? When God convicts us about areas of our life that we need to cast out and get rid of and cut off, what do? We begin to grieve over it. We begin to negotiate about how we can hang on to it. And some of you this morning might saying, you know what? I know that I want to hold on to these things of the flesh, but you're not going to be able to do it if you're going to walk in truth and walk in obedience to the Lord. You have to cast it out. And just like Abraham, sometimes it's painful to do. There may be some of you right now, you're involved maybe in a relationship. You're dating someone. You're involved with someone who doesn't know the Lord. The Bible says, don't do that. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. What does light have to do with darkness? What does righteousness have to do with unrighteousness? The Lord would say, break it off. It's not of the Lord. But it's painful, Pastor Mark. We've developed a relationship. We love each other. Now, if you're married, you're not supposed to do that. I think everybody knows that. That's not a reason for divorce if you find yourself married to an unbeliever. But the point is this, you may have some relationship you've developed and God is saying, you need to cut that relationship off. But Lord, it's painful. Yeah, it may be painful. But see, Abraham did something that was very painful in order to be obedient to the Lord. It might be an old relationship. It may be turning from a sin that you struggle with lifelong or simply getting rid of fleshly things that hinder your relationship with the Lord. It's interesting. The word here, displeasing, means to shake violently. And it shows us how hard it was and how upset Abraham was to let go of his son. How many of us, when God says, get that area out of your life, break that relationship off, stop doing that thing, whatever it might be, that we begin to say, Lord, but I want to hang on to it. And God's saying, if you want to be obedient, you've got to lay it aside. And God is calling some of you to do that today. He's calling you to lay aside something right now that you know you shouldn't be involved in. You need to cut it off. It's something of the flesh. It will destroy your life. And so Sarah says, cast out the bondwoman. I don't want her here any longer. And again, displeasing to Abraham. But notice this, it was of the Lord. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of the bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. And again, God reiterating here that as to Isaac, the promises were called. But note this, Sarah had told Abraham the first time, go into Hagar, that wasn't of the Lord. And now she comes to him again, and no doubt he's thinking, well, is this from the Lord? Maybe it's not either. But then God comes to him and says, no, this is the Lord. God is speaking through your wife. And husbands, I think you need to take note. God will speak through your wife, and he will do it in areas that your ears are closed. Think about Abraham. No doubt his ear was closed to having Ishmael move out. This was his blood son. Now, Sarah's stepson, granted, but Abraham's blood son. How hard would that have been to do? And so Sarah says, you know you're supposed to do this. It behooves us as husbands to go to the Lord and say, God, is this you? My wife is suggesting this, God. What do we do here? We need some wisdom from you. God will speak to you through your wife. And God does that here with Abraham. And Abraham goes to the Lord, and then God confirms it and says, you know what? This is me. And don't let it trouble you. You need to get rid of her because this is, again, not only something that will be bad for your family in the long run, but also, again, even in the spiritual type of casting out the flesh. Now, even as there's that spiritual type of the flesh and the spirit with Isaac and Ishmael, there is also the type in the scripture, if you will, of the law and the covenant of grace. And they are found in Hagar and in Sarah. It tells us in Galatians 4 that Sarah represents the new covenant, that is in Christ, the free person, if you will, and Hagar represents the old covenant, that is being under the law. And so again, these can't be together. When we come to Jesus, we can't live under the law any longer. And some of you may be trying to live by the law today. You've got a list of regulations set up and rules that you're trying to follow. Now, the law is good if followed lawfully. Don't get me wrong. God's word is righteous. But it's not by rules and regulations that you reach the Lord and that you become righteous. It's by the blood of Jesus on the cross. So even as you've got to cast out the flesh, you've got to cast out the law as well. Hagar represents flesh and slavery to sin. Sarah represents the spirit and freedom in Christ. And Abraham is now reminded by God that his spiritual descendants are called to life and freedom and promise in Christ, while those of the bondwoman are the world and the flesh to a life of slavery and sin. And how many of us came out of that? A life of slavery and sin, coming to the Lord, but now we're free. But again, notice this, just because Ishmael is not a child of promise, it doesn't mean that God would not bless him. Notice verse 13. He says, "Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed." So God says, I'll bless him. And God had already promised that he would bless him to Hagar. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Note that. I have that underlined. And he took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent them away. And then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, what I love about Abraham at this point of his life is how God had changed him. And now when God tells him to do something, he does it without delay. Remember back in Ur of the Chaldees, he told him to come out of Ur of the Chaldees and he stayed there. How do we know that? Because it tells us in Genesis 12, God had said to Abraham, leave your family and leave Ur of the Chaldees. But he didn't obey immediately. He sat there for a while. And then when he did come out of Ur of the Chaldees, remember, he went to Haran. And he was there in Haran and stayed there until his dad died. And then when his dad finally died, he moved on down to the promised land in Canaan. We notice a pattern there when God first called him, a very delayed obedience. You know, you've heard on delay, on delay, on delay. Well, a little bit more on, a little less delay. And that's the bottom line. That's what God wanted out of his life. And so he's down there, finally down in the promised land after God had done it. But I love this about him because this time we see in scripture as he's grown in the Lord that now God says to him, get up and get going, take care of this. He rises early in the morning. Early. Note that. No delay. God said, do it. I'm going to do it. And I think that's a sign of maturity in Christ. When God calls us to do something, we don't put it off. There's no procrastination. It's like, all right, Lord, you said, do it. I'm going to do it. And I truly believe that's a sign of spiritual maturity. And notice he didn't rise early because he wanted to do this. It was one of the hardest things in his life. This was his own son. But notice secondly, and this is interesting here, that although he was very wealthy, notice it doesn't give any mention. He gave no inheritance or provision to Hagar and Ishmael, only enough food and water to get to the next village. Now we're going to see in a moment they apparently get lost, because they run out of provision, and Abraham no doubt gave them enough to get to the next village, and that's why we can assume here they got lost. But what's interesting is as they left, he gave them no inheritance, or we would say provision. Why is that interesting in the type that God is giving us here? Because in Romans 13, it says this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and note this, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, what we have to learn by this story of Abraham and Isaac and by the word of God is, if you're going to walk holy with the Lord and if you're going to be completely obedient to God, you have to completely cast out the bondwoman and her son, the flesh, if you will, that is leaving the law behind and leaving behind the things of the flesh and walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. But not only do you have to do that, you have to make sure that you make no provision for any reconnection later on. There's got to be a clean break. You can't leave an open door. You ever do that? Well, you know, I remember years ago, you know, you hear about people and you'd have friends maybe that do this. They would have, you know, you're a kid and maybe they have a girlfriend or something and they break that off, but they want to kind of leave that connected, you know, that door open in case they ever decide they want to go back. He says, you can't do that. You got to break it off. You can have no connection. You can't leave opportunities. It's kind of like saying, all right, Lord, I'm just going to quit drinking beer completely, because when I drink it, I go too far. I know this is wrong. I'm putting beer away, but I'm not going to do that anymore, Lord. But I'm just going to leave that six pack in the fridge just in case there's a special day just for the taste I want it, right? You know what's going to happen, don't you? One day you're going to go, you're going to pop open one of them, just going to have one today, because that's just, you know, I like that with pizza or whatever. And they say, well, you know, I'm not drunk, and two probably won't make me. And then next thing you know, you find yourself sinning against the Lord. And now you're in a situation where God said, I said, cast away, get rid of it, make a clean break, walk holy before me, make no provision for the flesh, don't give any opportunity for your old flesh to rise up and to chase back after what it's looking for, make that clean break. And so again, they make the clean break here, and as he gives just no inheritance to them, nothing that would leave them on. And notice they wandered in the wilderness. This is interesting because note this, as a picture of the flesh, that's exactly what happens. When we choose to go the way of the flesh, as Hagar and Ishmael, we find ourselves wandering in a wilderness. And some of you might be in a wilderness this morning and you're wondering why you're wandering. It may simply be because you need to deal with some areas of flesh in your life. God, why isn't it the same anymore? How come I don't hear your voice? Why has it been so long? Now, let me say this. Believers go through times of desert. God does that to test us and grow us. But we should come out of that after a certain amount of time, and we should begin to experience the fullness of the Lord again, hearing his word, getting excited about his word, enjoying the Lord and the things of the Lord. If we've stayed in this wanderness and we're wandering in this, you know, wilderness all the time, we need to ask ourselves, God, what am I doing? Am I living in the flesh? Have I allowed Ishmael back in? Am I just living with Ishmael? And I'm not really necessarily, you know, just going for it in some kind of major sin, but Ishmael's back in my life. And it's destroying me. I'm in a wilderness. God is saying, you know, you need to get out of that. Now they find themselves in a very literal wilderness here as they're wandering around and wandering from place to place, if you will. And notice he says here in verse 15, and the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Now, here's what happened. They ran out of provision. They ran out of what they had, the water, the little bit they were given for the next village. And she says, I can't stand to see my child die. So I'm just going to put him under this bush here where the sun's not directly on him. I'm going to go just as far away as you would, a bow shot away. And I'm going to be there so I know where my son is because I can't bear to be too far from him, but I just can't watch him die. And it's a very sad scene we see here as she goes and basically laying him down to die. She had given up on life. It's interesting. The word placed here means cast him down, literally. And doesn't mean she threw him down, but it is very interesting in this type. You know, no doubt this was due to exhaustion and dehydration. But you talk about being downcast. They were downcast quite literally at this point. But notice again the faithfulness of God to Hagar and to Ishmael. Look at verse 16. Then she went and sat across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard, note this, the voice of the lad. I have that underlined. Why does the Holy Spirit point out it was the voice of the lad? I believe because Hagar was not crying out in prayer. I think Hagar was simply weeping. And now we see that this lad is crying out to God. Notice then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad. There it is again, where he is. What's my point? Notice, while Hagar was downcast, she lifted up her voice in weeping. But while Ishmael was downcast, he lifted up his voice in prayer. Which one are you? You see, a lot of times we get in this situation where we just cry about it. We just weep about it. Oh me, poor me, my life, everything's so bad. But we don't cry out before the throne of God. The difference in those who receive help in time of need and those who don't are those who cry out, not just in weeping, which is okay, but they cry out to God. And that's exactly what Ishmael did. Ishmael cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer. We need to learn from this. When we find ourselves in a downcast place, don't just stay downcast. The Bible says God is the lifter of our head. Look up to the Lord, cry out to the Lord, and God will hear. But also take note that even if we find ourselves dying in a wilderness due to foolishly living after our flesh, a simple prayer to God will turn it all around. And maybe some of you this morning feel like you're dying in that wilderness because you've been living according to the flesh. Listen, this morning all you have to do from the shrub you're under is cry out to the Lord. Say, God, I need you to touch my life. I need a fresh well of water poured on me. I need to be revived. And God is going to say, you know, yes, I'll revive you, but you need to cast out the bondwoman. You need to cast out Ishmael. You've got to put the flesh aside, and I will bring refreshment into your life. And oftentimes, it's nothing more than making that decision to cast out and recommit where God brings the freshness in. That's exactly what God wants to do. Notice verse 18. He says, arise and lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And then she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Now, how Hagar's mind must have rushed back to a different well some years ago when she was running from Sarah the first time, remember? And it says she came to a well of water. The Lord met her at the well. And not only did he meet her there, he said, I promise you, I'm going to use your son, Ishmael. He's going to be a great nation. He's going to have 12 princes come from him. But how quickly she had forgotten. And note this, Christian, whenever we find ourselves in a place of despair and anxiousness, how quickly and how easily we can forget the promises of God. If you're in a place of despair, if you're in a place of anxiousness, I want to remind you, God is faithful to his word. The promises of God are yes and amen. The Lord is still on the throne. And Jesus said, if you will seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. God will take care of you. And God knows your situation. His timing is perfect. And he's going to move at exactly the right time. Hagar had forgotten that. And I believe in this situation probably was not even crying out to the Lord. But our job is to cry out, to believe and trust and wait in God's perfect timing. But also notice, as Ishmael prayed, God opened their eyes to something they had never seen before. Somewhere near her was a well of water. It says God opened her eyes and there was the well of water. Some of you right now, you can't even see the well of water that's around you right now. God is giving you a spring of life in his word. He's giving you a spring of life in his spirit, but you've become blinded because you haven't cried out to God and you've been living a fleshly life, wandering in the wilderness. This morning, lay it down. Cast out Ishmael. Start walking according to the spirit. God will open your eyes as you pray and as you spend time in the word, and you're going to see a well of water you've never seen before. I love what God said to Jeremiah. He said, cry out to me and I'll show you things you've never seen before. I say, God, show me things. I want to see things I've never seen before. And now they see these things they've never seen. And it says, so God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Interesting, notice after it mentioned that Ishmael was crying out to the Lord, it says that God was with him and he grew. Notice the benefits of crying out to God. God will be with you and you will grow in your walk in the Lord. In verse 21, he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Sadly, still looking toward Egypt was Hagar her entire life, apparently, as far as we know scripturally, and Ishmael as well, running back to Egypt, running back to the world to find that relationship for her son. So we don't see necessarily a great ending to the story of Hagar and Ishmael, although we still see God's faithfulness to them, and we don't know what the ultimate outcome with them was eternally. We won't know that until we get there. But here's what I want you to take home today. And that is this, is God telling you it's time to cast out the flesh life and begin to walk in the spirit in obedience? If he is, don't be like Abraham was at the beginning of his walk back in Ur of the Chaldees, waiting and waiting and waiting. You've lived with Ishmael long enough. It's time to cast him out. It's time to walk in the spirit. It's time to be obedient. It's time to get out of the wilderness. You know, it's interesting, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they were disobedient to the word of the Lord. I wonder how many believers are wandering in wilderness their entire life instead of joining the well of life that God has right in front of them that they're blinded to see because they simply won't leave the flesh and walk according to the spirit. God has so much for you. He has so much for us. Let's ask him to open our eyes so that we can do it and ask the Lord to bless it.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.